What's up, Chingus? It's your girl Kathleen, aka Cassidine, aka Sodine. And we are back with another episode of Sodine's Soapbox. Yes, here on Sodine's Soapbox is where we rant about all things love, life, and the pursuit of music. Get into it. What's up, family? How you doing? We are back at it again with the back at it again. What's up, everybody? If you are a first-time listener, welcome. We invite you in. Have a seat. Grab yourself some wine, some tea, because we are a family here. Grab you some coffee, whatever you need. And if you're a returning listener, what's up, family? How you doing? How you living? How you live? How your mama and them? You living all right? You living good? You doing all right? I am so excited for today's episode. We are just going to chop it up. We're going to talk, chit-chat, do the dang thing as we normally do around here. But you already know, before we even get started and get into the meat and bones of the thing, please follow your girl on all social media platforms. That's Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. My handle is Shameless Listo on all platforms. That's Shameless Listo. I'm just, again, happy and excited to be here with y'all. So we definitely going to be talking about a couple of things today. I don't have no real particular topic. I just want to chop it up with y'all and talk to y'all. And wherever this conversation goes is where it goes. Okay. So now we usually kick off the episode starting off with Sodine's life update, where I usually talk about what's been going on with me, how I'm doing, if there's any crazy or good or bad things that's been going on with me. So let's get into it. So as far as, because obviously now I'm on a monthly basis, I feel like April's been pretty chill for the most part. I'm still hella busy, but at the same time, it's been like chill in terms of like any real events going on in my life. My mom's birthday was this month, so thank God I was able to, you know, wish her happy birthday, send her a little something, you know, try to take care of my mama as best as I can. School is schooling. I'm gonna keep it 100 with you. School is schooling. This year in particular at like teaching, and for those who are new, I am a English teacher in South Korea, and I'm now basically on my fourth year as a teacher. And I'm not gonna lie to y'all, some of my classes, especially my high school classes, they've been amazing. I know I shouldn't be partial, but I love my high schoolers. Like my high school students, I love them to death. They are funny. They are witty. They are smart. They are comedic. Like, I mean, I get a whole bag with them. I teach middle and high school, but I'm a keep it 100. I love my high school students. And even when I first came to Korea, my preference was to teach middle school and high school students because I wanted to be able to have conversations with them and connect with them and understand their world and understand what life is like for them. Especially because, you know, my experience as a high school student in America is completely different from high schoolers living in Korea. So I really wanted to be able to connect with them and understand them. You know, don't get me wrong. I have a middle schoolers. My middle schoolers are great, but, you know, they be trampolining on my baby hair of faith. They be trampolining on my baby hair of faith and my baby hair of patience. Because I've been doing this for 4 years. And in the 4 years that I've done this, I've never had to yell at my kids. Never had to yell at my students. Because they already know, like, I create balance in the classroom. I'm very serious. I take things, you know, seriously when it comes to their learning. But I also balance it with fun. So, you know, I create games and activities for them. I give candy. I do a lot of those things with them. But they understand that these are privileges. They're not like, oh, I just give out candy just for the sake of it. Even though sometimes I do. But for the most part, I keep it like, okay, you perform well, you get rewarded, that type of thing. And so most of my kids, they enjoy my class. They even tell me that they look forward to my class, which means a lot to me. Because even after 4 years, I still kind of have this imposter syndrome going on where I'm just like, bruh, you didn't go to school to be a teacher. Like, that wasn't your degree, that wasn't your major, nothing. And to stand in front of these kids and create lessons and activities to get them to engage in English, especially when the reality is a lot of these kids may never use English after they walk out of the classroom. Kind of like in America, we learn Spanish, we learn French, we learn whatever language. A lot of the times we don't actually use them on a day-to-day basis. Because I remember learning Spanish in middle school and I'm like, why am I learning Spanish? I'm never going to use this. Which, truth be told, there were moments that I could have used Spanish because I've worked in a lot of restaurants growing up and a lot of the staff were Hispanic and I could have benefited from remembering that. But hindsight is 20/20, right? And I think it's the same thing for a lot of my kids who are learning English. Some of them, they want to learn because they have dreams and aspirations to use the English or just be able to talk to people. And then I have some of my students, they could care less about English because they're like, I'm Korean. I live in Korea. There is no point in my life where I'm ever going to use English. And I understand where they're coming from because, again, I was them learning Spanish. And it wasn't until high school that obviously I could pick my own language. So I took French. But I took French because it was easy, because I already speak Creole and a lot of the words are similar. And I just wanted an easy A through my last 2 years of high school. I was like, I don't want to really be thinking and having to stress out about a language. So I took French for 2 years. So that's that. But yeah, my middle schoolers, I've had to yell at two different classes within the past 2 weeks. And I'm like, bruh, what is going on? Like, I have my sixth graders, and the way Korean school is, they have middle school first, second, and third grade, and then they have high school first, second, and third grade. So middle school first grade would be considered like sixth grade, basically, for us. And if you go to American school, it's basically considered sixth grade. So they're just leaving elementary school, and they're coming into middle school. So middle school is a whole different playground for them. And I have two separate classes. Like, one, their energy level will be like on -5, that when I walk in, I basically have to warm them up, prep them, and then like we get going. But even then, like, they don't be trying to listen. They don't be trying to hear nothing. Again, the idea like, oh, I'm Korean, I'm never going to use English. Like, why am I in this class? And so like, I basically have to wrestle with them to like even engage and participate in the class. And again, I understand that not everybody's going to have a love and a joy for English, and I don't walk into the classroom with that mentality that every kid wants to learn English. But it's just like, they not trying to do nothing. They're not trying to do nothing. And so we were doing a practice activity and they were just like misbehaving, that I shut everything down. I was like, you know what, pull the plug, everybody sit down. Don't talk, don't speak, don't do nothing. And, you know, even after the fact, I didn't necessarily feel the best about it because, one, I'm like, maybe I could have handled that a different way. But also, I'm supposed to have a co-teacher and he's supposed to jump in and like do the discipline. But the sad truth is, a lot of times, whoever your co-teacher is, they don't care. And so a lot of the times I'm left with the responsibility of trying to wrangle my classrooms, unless I have a good co-teacher, because I have about three. One of them, child, he has one foot out the door in retirement, so he really just don't care. The other two, I don't have problems with them. But yeah, I had to basically shut them down and be like, nah, we're not doing none of this. We're not doing none of this. And then I had another class, which is my middle school third graders. They're basically like my eighth graders. And normally they're really good. But this particular day, like, they were just dead. And I even, you know, I do like a temperature check. I'm like, hey, how you guys feeling? Like, are you okay? Because with my kids, and this is middle and high school, like, they're in school from 8:30 in the morning. And a lot of times they don't get home till 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. And that's because they go to regular school from 8:30 to 3:30 or 4:30, depending on the day. Then they may have like 30 minutes to an hour of break time, which was when a lot of my kids, they'll go to a cafe or a convenience store and they'll get ramen or some sort of food to just scarf down real quick. Then like 4 to 5 o'clock, they go to Hagwon or Academy, and then they spend their time from like 5 p.m. to like 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning at these academies. And the academies vary on subject. So there's math academy, There's science, there's English, there's history, biology. If they want to do art, there's an art academy. Like, it just varies. But they spend another 5 to 6+ hours at the academy. Then they go home and they're not going to bed till, like I said, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, maybe even 3 o'clock in the morning. And then they have to wake up and do it all over again. And again, this is for my middle schoolers and my high schools. It's not like high school where you're prepping to go into university, so you're putting in extra hours. Like, this is literally a day-to-day basis for them. And so, you know, I go in understanding that, being empathetic, and just testing the temperature. Because I'm like, hey, how are you guys feeling? Are you guys tired? Are you guys sleepy? Are you guys sick? You know, where is your head at? And they're like, oh, no, we're good. We're good. We're happy. We're this, that, and the third. But then, like, I felt like I was pulling teeth to get through the lesson. I felt like they just wasn't giving me the energy. And it wasn't even like, oh, they're being tired or whatever. It was just like they wasn't trying to hear nothing that I was saying or teaching. And so, like I said, I normally do like a practice activity or a game at the end. And I started to do the game, but the game was reviewing all the stuff we learned and they didn't know any of it. And I was like, nah. Again, pull the plug. I'm like, if y'all not listening, there's no point in me giving you a game. I was like, games are privileges. You have to earn them. If you don't earn them, you don't get them. And again, I did another temperature check. I'm like, if y'all are sick, tell me. If, you know, you're not feeling well, tell me. If you went to bed late because you were studying, tell me. Like, I need, and I'm saying this like not in the, oh, they can't communicate. Like, my students talk to me. My students will tell me, oh, teacher, I'm not feeling well. Teacher, my head hurts, mori apayo, which means like I have a headache. They'll be like, oh, I'm feeling sick, or I'm tired because I didn't go to bed till 3 a.m. And I'm like, okay. And then I kind of navigate my lesson based off of their mood. But if they're not honest with me, if they're not telling me the truth up front, I can't work with them. Now, again, being the empath that I am, I understand this is a foreign concept for them. Having someone actually care about how they're feeling and their mood. Because usually teachers just go in, teach the lesson, do whatever they do, and then they walk out. Me, I start noticing their behaviors, and that's when I'm like, okay, maybe we'll just do this activity instead of like a very high energy exercise or activity. Because if I try to get them to do something that has high energy, I'm just setting myself up for failure. But yeah, I had to basically like check them and be like, yo, like if something's going on, if you're tired, if you're not feeling well, like tell me. But like, don't have me coming in here feeling like I'm talking to myself, talking to the wall. And it's like pulling teeth to get y'all to engage. Because if that's the case, class can be completely different. The whole atmosphere of my classrooms can change completely different if this is the vibe y'all gonna give me. So I'm like, so what's up? Like, what do you want? And so, you know, later on they apologized and they were just like, we worked it out. But I say all that to say, like, in my 4 years, I've never had to do that. And I'm like, okay, like, what does this mean for me? And I'm not necessarily sure. I don't have an answer for that. But it's just like, you know, duly noted type of thing. So that was part of my month, so to speak. And then funny enough, I ran into a couple of my old students that I taught, like, that have already gone and graduated. And ran into them. And they were like, oh, yeah, you taught me when I was 19. I'm now 22. And I was just like, my chest. My chest. Why would you do that? Why would you tell me I taught you when you were 19 and now you're 22? Because now I gotta look at myself and look at my age and be like, dang, girl, you've been doing this for this long? And I mean, again, I say this every time. Shout out to the teachers who be doing this 5, 10, 20 and beyond years. Because man, me? Oh, I know I have an expiration date on all this. I already feel it in my spirit. There's an expiration on all this. Because I can't see myself doing this past 5 years. And I'm going to keep it 100. I don't see myself doing this past 5 years. And again, it has nothing to do with the kids, the school. I love my kids. I love my school. My kids are great. I love what I do. I don't wake up hating my job. Which, if you've listened to past episodes, I said that's a first for me. Because there's not one job that I've had that I didn't wake up being like, how can I call out of work? What excuse can I give to miss work today? How can I finagle myself out of my job? Or like, oh, maybe I'll go in, but then like I say I feel sick during my lunch break and then go home. Like, I've been there. So this is the first time where I'm like, I don't wake up with that feeling. I may be tired because that's never going to go away. Like, I wake up exhausted. I wake up tired because I'm not a morning person. Anything before, honestly, 9 or 10 o'clock, you asking a lot for me to show up. But at the same time, I just don't see myself doing this past 5 years. So that's that on that. And then, oh, y'all finna be sick of me. So my sister did a 23andMe ancestry test, maybe I want to say a couple of weeks ago or maybe a month ago. And I had her do it. I paid for her to do the 23andMe ancestry because, one, I wanted to know like where our ancestry comes from. And then we did the one about the health too, because my mom has a lot of health issues, including having lupus. And this isn't something that we are aware is hereditary or genetics. So we decided to do the 23andMe. Now, she did it because I can't get it delivered here in Korea. They don't have something like that available. So just had my sister do it because obviously we come from the same parents. So her results will be my results. And y'all, I think I've said this before, that Haitian people, from what I've learned through history, we originally come from Benin in Africa. And then there's other countries that speak Creole as well, like Ivory Coast, Martinique. There's like actually quite a few countries that have a derivative of Creole. I remember watching a video on Instagram and somebody was like, how many Creoles can you identify or can you hear? And it was like a bunch of different countries. Some I knew, some I didn't. And I was like, I would say like 80 to 85% of them, I could understand. And I was like, yo, I didn't realize like Creole as a language was that widespread. So, you know, me, my mom, my dad, and my sister, we all took a bet, like for a dollar, where did we think we came from? So my mom said Benin. I think my dad said Ivory Coast. I don't remember where my sister said. And then I, because I couldn't say Benin, I think I said either Nigeria or shoot, I can't remember. But y'all, the test results came in and I want to read y'all the results, because when I tell you, when says Z, which means I'm shocked, I am shooketh, I am beside myself. So let me read you these results, okay? I am 36%, well, 36.1% Nigerian. What? Baby, y'all finna be sick of me. I already love, you know, Afro beats and Caribbean music, but the fact that I have Nigerian in my blood, y'all finna be sick of me, okay? Sick of me. I'm about to be at the Burna Boy concert, the Wizkid concert, talking about some, we family. I have Nigerian friends right now. I still need to message them, be like, oh, we blood, we family. We go together real bad. So that was the top one. The second one is 19.3% Ghanaian, Liberian, and Sierra Leone. I'm assuming that like Benin is lumped into there. Obviously, it doesn't say Benin specifically on my thing, but like that particular area, again, per history, apparently is where a lot of Haitian people, or people who now identify as Haitians, come from. So that's the 19.3%. Then I'm 14.9% Angolan and Congolese. Child. I'm 5.7% Senegambian and Ghanaian. So I got some Ghanaian in my blood. This is the one that tripped me out. I'm 5.1% Spanish and Portuguese. Spanish kind of made sense because, you know, Haiti's right next to the Dominican Republic. But where the Portuguese come from? Where the Portuguese come from? That's what I want to know. Then I'm 2.3 French and German, which French makes sense because they were colonizers. German, I don't know where that's coming from at all. Then I'm 0.4% Greek and Balkan. Greek. And then I'm 0.3% Italian and 0.2% Southern East African. I wanna know where the heck the Portuguese, the German, the Greek, and the Italian come from. I got questions. Who in my family came from these parts of the world? Or maybe it's my colonizers. I don't know. But I was very shocked by Nigerians. Very, very much shocked. Because I was like, you know, yes, we came from Africa, but Nigeria just seems so far off for me. Like, it just didn't even register. Like, I just knew it was going to be like Benin or, you know, Ivory Coast, which considers as like Southern East Africa, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know my geography that well, but you know, I like, and it does say Caribbean on there as well. Like, Caribbean is like the very last, and it says I come from two regions, but Nigerian, Portuguese, Italian, Greek. Yes, I'm claiming all of them. I don't care if it's 0.3%, but like Nigeria and Ghana, when I tell y'all finna be sick of me, y'all finna be sick of me. Because the way I'm about to put in my bio, the Haitian flag and the Nigerian flag, respectfully, and May is Haitian Heritage Month, the way, wait till Nigerian Independence Day comes around, y'all fit to be sick of me, because I'll be like, oh, I'm one of y'all, y'all are me, I am you. What? This was the highlight of my month, to learn I have Nigerian in my blood. I have Nigerian, and I mean, it tracks, because like the food, the culture, the dance, it fits, but I just wasn't expecting to see Nigerian on my chart at all. Like, when I tell you that made my month, when my sister sent me the results, the way I stood there aghast, because I couldn't believe that I have any Nigerian in my blood. Child. But yeah, that's one of my biggest updates, is your girl is Haitian and Nigerian. Okay. Y'all not finna talk to me crazy. You better talk to me nice. Talk to me nice. Okay. Parlez doucement avec moi. Talk nice to me. Okay. But yeah, I feel like, oh, my last update, child. So apparently Bruno Mars is coming to Korea. He's coming in June. I was like, oh, I gotta go. Cause I think like it's Hyundai throws these concerts. Cause I believe last year Billie Eilish came. I don't care for Billie Eilish. She got some good songs, but not enough for me to be going to see her in concert. But they talking about Bruno coming to Korea. So I'm like, oh, bet. It's a wrap. I wanna see him in concert. Do you know the tickets were sold out in the first 5 minutes that I never even had a chance? First of all, I went into the website and it was like, oh, there's like 35,000 people ahead of you. I said, oh, child, I'm never getting these tickets. But then I realized it was a pre-sale tickets, which was only for people who were Hyundai card holders, not us regular degular folks. So I was like, okay, I'll come back on Friday, because it opened up Thursday for pre-sale. And then Friday was the actual general sales. So I go on Friday again with hope in my little heart. I get on there and it was like, oh, there's 25,000 people ahead of you. And even though it said 25, like the numbers were moving pretty quickly. So I'm like, okay, maybe I got a chance. Child, the way there were no seats in this arena, not even in the nosebleed section, which I was willing to take. I was willing to be in the nosebleed section just to hear Bruno. There was not near one seat in that arena from the front to the back. Side to side, nothing. You hear me? And I was going through every section, combing through every section. And I was going to treat a friend of mine to go. She's like, well, the only way we're going to buy tickets is probably through the black market. And I literally, without any hesitation, was like, nah, I ain't doing all that. Me, I'm not pressed for nobody. Like, I ain't nobody. Like, even I want to see Janet Jackson real bad. But if this was a Janet Jackson, I just would have been like, oh, this is the Lord telling me I'm not supposed to go. Like, this is the Lord telling me not to go. Don't waste your money, daughter, because you're not supposed to go. And my friend was just like, oh, well, we can just keep checking back to see if the tickets. One thing about me, baby, if I have something, a goal in mind, a plan in mind, I will see it to the end. But if I get to the end and yields no fruit, I'm done. Why beat a dead horse? I'm not finna keep going back and forth, keep checking to see if tickets opened up. I'm good. I'm not doing it. So I'm real bummed about that, because I really was thinking I could at least see Bruno for the summer. Because unlike the years before, I don't know if I'm gonna be really outside like that. Maybe I'll change my mind depending on how I feel or the events. But I really just don't see myself being outside like that because outside costs money, okay? And yesterday's price is not today's price. Because when I was out there in these streets last year, you know, things was a little cheaper. But yesterday's price ain't today's price. Things don't gone up. They don't increase subway prices. They don't increase train and bus fare fees. Taxi cabs are more expensive. Child, outside is expensive. So I don't know if my tail's really going to be out. And I still very much want to travel. Like, I ain't been to Japan yet. I ain't been to the Philippines yet. And it's mad cheap to go. But like I said, outside is expensive. Like, I know everybody telling myself, we outside. Okay, but outside is expensive. Like, who got outside money? That's the question. Who got outside money? And I'm not saying I'm not. I couldn't do it. But it's like, do I want to? That's the question. Do I want to? So we'll check back and find out next time on Dragon Ball Z if your girl ends up going outside this year. Because I don't know. I really don't know. But yeah, I think that's basically all my life updates. Everything that's going on with me, how I'm living, how things are going. We're going to see what May brings. They say April showers brings May flowers. I hope so. Because it's cold. Why is it still cold in April? Why is April still cold? One day it's hot, I don't need a jacket. The next day it's pouring rain. Then the day after that it's cold and chilly. I'm like, Can I speak to the manager? Can I speak to management? Because why? Why are we doing this? Monday's hot, Tuesday's cold, Wednesday it's raining, Thursday it's both. Thursday you wake up, it's cold, and in the middle of the day it's hot. Then it gets cold again. What the world? And then my students is in my classroom, kehek, coughing up a lung, hacking. And I'm like, Lysol this whole room. Lysol this whole entire space. Because what are we doing? What? Like, I mean, I was going through a lesson and not every 2 minutes, there was a student just hacking, kehek, coughing. I was just like, yo, what's going on? I'm like, So between the weather and my kids, like, I was like, this is ghetto. This is the ghetto. And I'm not here for none of this. So I don't like that. I don't like that at all. Nope. Nah, you can miss me with that for real. But all right, I'm not gonna dwell on that too long. Let's go ahead and just move along, okay? As far as today's episode, I'm keeping 100 with y'all. I had a topic in mind, and the thing is for me, when I do these episodes, I feel like I have to have a theme or a topic to talk about. And I realized, if y'all didn't notice about me, I'm a perfectionist. Like, everything got to be done in a particular way. And what that does for me is add unnecessary stress to my life that don't need to be there. And one of those unnecessary stresses is feeling like I got to show up to this podcast, saying a particular thing, doing a particular thing, talking about particular things. And I'm like, girl, why you do this to yourself? And the thing is, like, I don't know what my Enneagram is, because apparently that's supposed to tell you what your personality is. And I probably should take the test, and maybe I will, and I'll post it, and it'll make my whole life make sense. But, yeah, I just be feeling like I gotta show up here and talk about certain topics and give my insight and advice on X, Y, and Z. And I'm not saying that's not necessarily the case, because obviously my past episodes have proven that I have topics to talk about, given my thoughts and things like that. But I realize, like, I don't have to show up like that every time. The people who listen to my podcast listen because they're interested in what I have to say, or they find me interesting, which I hope you do. But, like, I realized I be putting on a lot of pressure on myself. And I think that just comes from the fact that right now in my life, I'm going to keep it 100. I don't know what I'm doing. Like, legitimately, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm in a season in my life where I literally don't know what I'm doing. And it's scary. Like, I'm legitimately scared. And I think that fear comes from the fact that, like, oh, I'm 35, and I've said this before, like, you feel like at a certain point that you have to have your life figured out and mapped out. And I think feeling like, oh my God, I'm 35, and I'm trying to shift my life in a different direction. And I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing just with life in general. And that's a scary feeling to have. And even though I feel those things, like, again, me being Christian, I'm like, God, I know that you're in control. I know that you're, you know, the captain of my ship. You are the driver of this car that's called my life. And so I really don't have need to be afraid or to be fearful. But it doesn't change the fact that I very much feel these things. I very much feel like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know if I'm heading in the right direction. I don't know if I'm listening to God properly, if I even hear him right. I don't even know if what I'm doing right now even matters or makes sense. So for me, I'm kind of like just wrestling with this. Like, okay, God, like, you got me doing a lot of things right now. Like, and I'm not divulging them because there's obviously a time and place, but I just feel like, okay, God, you're putting stuff on my plate. You're like, okay, do this, do that. But then when I'm asking questions, my man's is radio silent. And that's the frustrating part about this journey. When you don't know what you're doing, is like having to just have faith. And a lot of times we hear people say, oh, faith is the, you know, it's just a mustard seed. That's not how I see faith. I do, but I don't. Faith is as little as a mustard seed. But sometimes just to create that mustard seed takes all the energy out of you. It takes everything in your entire body and your entire being to create that mustard seed. But also for me, I see like having faith and stepping out on faith is literally like, imagine you're upstairs in your room. The lights are off and you're like, you know what? I'm feeling thirsty. I need to go downstairs into the kitchen to get something to drink. Imagine like you don't have an option to turn the lights on, but you're walking down the steps hoping that you don't slip and go sliding down all those steps. That's to me walking in faith, because it's dark. You trying to like take your foot and feel around and make sure like you stepping on each step individually and that you don't accidentally skip a step. Cause you know, when you skip a step, your heart all of a sudden leap out your chest cause you feel like you're gonna die and go crashing down the bottom of the steps. I know I'm being dramatic, but roll with me here on this analogy. That's what I feel like. I feel like I'm taking one step in the dark and God is like, okay, take the next step. I'm like, I can't see the next step. You telling me take the next step up the stairway, I can't up or down, because child, you could go either way in this life. But you're telling me to take another step. I can't see the next step, but somehow I'm supposed to step on it and it's just supposed to appear. And I feel like it's one of those, like, if that's the walk that I'm on, is that like, I don't see a step until I lift my foot up to put it down. And then all of a sudden a step appears. But before that, I'm terrified because it's like, what if I put my foot down and there's nothing there? I'm gonna fall down and bust my tail, and then everybody gonna be looking at me like, see, that's what you get for going down them steps in the dark. But it's like, that's where I am right now. That's where I am right now. I just literally feel like I don't know what I'm doing and I'm taking steps in the dark, trusting and praying and believing that when I get to the bottom of the steps or even the top of the steps, because again, life can take you up or down. You land safely. You land where you're supposed to be. You have to have some sort of trust to take the stairs, but also hope that by the time you get to your destination, everything kind of clicks and makes sense. But right now, I feel like nothing in my life is making sense. Nothing. And I remember talking to my sister the other day and just kind of like venting and feeling like, you know, my life is obscure. I remember telling her, like, I feel like my life is like hella obscure, because it's like, I came to Korea and I just expected my life to look a certain way and, you know, imagine doing certain things and of that nature. But then I get placed in Korea and then I get placed in this obscure island that most Koreans don't even know about. And I get placed in this obscure neighborhood with obscure school. And I say obscure in the fact that, like, I'm on an island just pretty much estranged from everything aside from a bridge that connects this island to, you know, main city. But I'm like, I feel like this was obscure. This placement was obscure. And then not only that, like, as I've mentioned before, like, I didn't make the friends that I thought I was going to make. I don't have access to the things I was hoping to have the access to, versus where if I lived in the city, I could have had that. And again, I know some people are like, oh, well, you could have moved, you could have left, because they do give us opportunities at the end of our contracts to ask, do we wish to renew or go to a different school? The thing is, it wasn't like, oh, I just want to stay here. I felt like God wasn't giving me the green light to leave. And that's the difference. It's like, yeah, I could have left, but then I know for a fact that I wouldn't have been doing the things that God called me to. And so I could have taken my own will, my free will, and do the things that I wanted to do. Or I could have been very intentional and be like, okay, God, do you feel like I should leave or stay? And I never had peace about leaving. I never had peace about leaving the city and going somewhere else where maybe there was a little bit more nightlife and people to meet and things like that. Like, I just never felt like I had the green light to do that. So I stayed here. And I'm not saying that like as a complaint or whatever. It's just to understand the context that like now I'm in a season where I feel like God is doing another transition, but I don't know what that transition looks like. I have no idea what that consists of, how that's supposed to go. And yeah, I could get real church and be like, well, that's where you're supposed to be. God, you know, God isn't going to give you turn by turn directions. And I get that and I understand that. But at the same time, again, it's just a very scary feeling to not know what you're doing and not feel like, and not have this back and forth communication to know like, oh, I'm on the right path. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I just have to keep working at it, going at the grind. Like literally for me, I feel like every day I'm like, I hope I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And God, if I'm not, I hope you interrupt me. I hope you, you know, somehow tell me like, girl, turn around because you're going the wrong way. I don't know. I guess I just wanted to talk about that and just be kind of transparent that sometimes you think people have it all together, especially unfortunately, social media. Social media is a snapshot of people's lives and their highlight reels that people don't actually show like what they're going through. But I think I would be disingenuous. It would be disingenuous of me to not be truthful about where I am in my life right now. And I think that also just affects why like I scaled back on the podcast, doing one episode a month, because I'm really just trying to make sure that everything that I'm doing, God has a stamp of approval on. I want to make sure that I'm not stepping out of his will, that I'm not stepping out and doing my own thing, which is going to turn around and cause detriment to me later. Because I'm like, God, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what you want my future to look like. I don't know what my life in the future is supposed to reflect. And I think that's just a very hard place to be. And the only answer that I have right now is that I've just been spending a lot more time being intentional in my relationship with him. And like just trying to really just understand, okay, God, this is the year 2023. I don't want it to look like 2022. But I know that in order for it to not look like 2022, I have to fully surrender, submit, and obey. Like, I feel like those are the three things that I just keep hearing in my spirit consistently, is that I need to surrender, submit, and obey. That's very uncomfortable because that requires me to take my hands off of a lot of things. And again, I told y'all, I'm a perfectionist. I'm a planner. I don't know my Enneagram, so maybe that will help me. But I know for a fact that like I'm a hands-on person. So the idea of being a passenger princess or recognizing that a relationship between me and God, that I'm the child and he's the adult and that he knows what's best for me, is not an easy pill to swallow. Especially when you're not, like I said, you're not getting that confirmation, you're not getting that feedback to know like, yes, you're on the right path. Yes, you're doing what you're supposed to, et cetera, et cetera. Because I know for me, I can't speak for others, but I know for me, God does speak to me. It's not this loud, audible, booming voice that people try to portray God to be, but it's more like a whisper. And what I've just been learning in my quiet time is that like, if I have too much noise around me, I can't hear the whispers. I can't hear his whispers to understand and know, okay, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm on the right path. I'm heading down the right direction. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And I think for me, I need to figure out how to cut out the noise so that I can hear him a little better. And maybe that'll definitely ease my discomfort and my fear, but I just haven't figured out how to block out the noise, you know, and noise being, you know, whether it be actual noise in the sense, like I'm constantly listening to music that I drown out the silence and God is speaking, but I can't hear because I have music on, or I have so much, you know, schedule. Like I started this year because I was trying to organize my life. I created a whole Google calendar that literally says like what I'm supposed to do at what time. So I have in there what time my classes are. I have in there what time I'm supposed to exercise, what time I'm supposed to take a shower, what time I'm supposed to eat dinner, what time that I'm supposed to relax and unwind. And my whole entire day is basically outlined. And while it does keep me accountable and keep me in line, because what will happen for me is I'll come home, sit on my bed, and next thing I know, 3 hours done passed by and I didn't do nothing besides probably scrolling on my phone. And so time escapes me. So I've used this to kind of keep me on track and keep me on schedule. But I feel like it's also to my detriment because it's so busy and so noisy with my schedule that I don't allow time for him to interrupt my schedule and to just talk to me and be like, hey, we need to have a talk. We need to chat. These are the things that I want you to do. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't have no big topic to talk about, but that's just kind of where I'm at right now. It's just trying to figure out my life and where I'm supposed to be heading, like the direction that God has for me, how I'm supposed to go about it, and how I'm supposed to prepare for it. Because I do know that there are promises for me, but I have doubts. And I've, you know, been very transparent about that when I talk to God, because I don't be doing this, our Father who art in heaven. I just be like, God, let me talk to you for a second. That's literally how I talk to God. That's my prayer. I don't do the whole our Father who art in heaven. I'm just like, God, can we have a conversation? Because I'm not feeling you right now. I'm not feeling you. I feel like you done left me, you know, in the shadow of death where it says you're supposed to lead me. I don't feel like I'm being led. I feel like I'm stuck in the shadow of death. And we need to have a conversation. So I think just right now, like that's the season where I am, where I just need to hear God and trust him and just be solidified in the direction that I am. And I know even then, like God is like, I don't have to give you nothing. All you're supposed to do is trust me. And so it's this inner turmoil that it's like, okay, God, can you just tell me that I'm in the right place? But then also understanding, like, in his sovereignty, he doesn't have to. But I think in his fatherly love, he does, because that's what, you know, a parent does to a child, is that they give you guidance, they give you direction, because they want to affirm you. And I feel like that's just kind of where I am. I really don't have any other way to describe it, but just like, that's the season that I'm in, is that I'm unsure about where the direction of my life is. I know it'll be for my good. I know it'll be for a bigger purpose. I know it'll be to use my life as an example that if God can use me, he can use anybody. But I think in the interim, in the process, it's just a very unsettling and scary feeling. And I have to learn how to, I guess, do it scared. I think that's just where this all kind of comes together, is that even though I don't know what I'm doing, I don't know where I'm going, and I'm fearful, I think the conclusion is just that I have to do it scared. I have to do it afraid and just trust that every time I put my foot down, a step will be there and he will not let my foot slip, because he's walking with me and he's holding my hand. And I just have to get my mind, heart, and spirit aligned to understand that. Because a lot of times I just be in my head thinking like, okay, well, what am I going to do about this? What if this happens? Then what am I going to do? And he's just like, why are you stressing about that? I got it. I got this. I got you. And I think I just needed to talk about it out loud to come to that conclusion that I just need to do it scared. No matter how things turn out, I know that it'll be for my good and not for my harm. So yeah, I think what just makes this harder is that when you do this alone, especially like in the physical sense, like you don't have people that you can commune with and you can just talk about the feelings that you have. Because y'all already know, most of my friends are overseas, but even then, like, I don't talk to them on a consistent basis. Most of my friends are overseas, and because of the time difference and life just, again, be life in, it just makes it difficult to really have somebody to kind of bounce ideas off of and be like, hey, this is what I'm thinking, this is how I'm feeling, what are your thoughts? Because when you're alone, you end up being your own echo chamber, and I think that's just where I struggle, is trying to not be my own echo chamber and not allow my mind to create things that aren't real. And I'm not saying I'm crazy, y'all. I'm not saying I'm crazy. But like, you know, you start thinking thoughts that just aren't real and you don't have anybody outside of you to combat those thoughts and those feelings. Be like, nope, that's not true. Nope, that's not real. Nope, God didn't say that. Nope, God wouldn't do that. Like, I don't have that. I don't have that. And so therefore, it just makes this journey very difficult. Because I've already dubbed my years in Korea as being my wilderness years. If I ever write a book, which I know I'm supposed to, but I will definitely be titling my time in Korea as the wilderness years. Because I feel like that's when God has really tried to separate me from everybody, to just be with Him and to, again, clear out the noise and understand that He speaks in a whisper and He's not going to raise His voice. He's not going to yell. He's going to say the same octave. And it's just up to me to really fine tune my ears to hear Him and hear what He's saying so that I'm not feeling like, oh, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what I'm doing, because obviously I'm not supposed to. He's supposed to know, and I'm supposed to be the passenger princess and just trust that because He's got the GPS, He's going to take me to the destination I'm supposed to be. So that's what I've just come to the conclusion, is that I'm in my wilderness years and these are the things that I'm supposed to learn and take out from this so I can pass the test. But all right, I'm about to wrap up this episode because I was not trying to be that transparent and vulnerable. But as my Uncle Tim Ross says, vulnerability is my superpower. And that is what I'm going to take out of this, is that sometimes you being vulnerable can touch other people and help other people. And so I just hope that me being vulnerable somehow, some way helped other people. Otherwise, it just was good for me. I try not to use this mic as a therapy session because, child, too many people get on a mic, a hot mic, and they just be spewing foolishness and this, that, and a third. And it's like, you just need a therapist. You don't need a podcast. So I hope that this episode doesn't feel like I was using y'all as therapy, but I just really wanted to let y'all know like where I am in life and not make it seem like I have my stuff together, because I'm far from having it together and being put together. So let's knock that idea out of the park. But all right, I'm going to wrap up today's episode. If you love my content, if you love this episode and you're trying to be a part of the family, please make sure you leave a review on wherever you listen to podcasts, whether it's Apple, Google, Spotify, etc. Just show my podcast some love. It would mean a lot to me. But also, again, please follow me on all social media platforms. That's Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Tell me what you think about today's episode. If you have topics you would love for me to delve in on and talk about, I am more than happy to do so. Because like I said, for me, I feel like a lot of these would just be me talking off the dome, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but I'm all for talking about specific topics as well. But yeah, other than that, I thank you so much for listening. I thank you for all of my listeners, all of my supporters, whoever you are in the world. I love you. I'm thankful for you. And I appreciate the fact that you just take however long to just listen to me ramble and rant and do what I do. So I love you guys. And with that being said, your girl is off her soapbox. See ya.